coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And you know what? You can't hide the truth. You can't stop the truth. We're back. As Eric the Tech said, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. It can be censored, obviously, as we've been censored off of YouTube, as you know, 250,000 subscribers down the tube. Stuff like that. And of course, we're fighting our own battles of censorship elsewhere. And, the threats continue. I must say, the threats continue despite the holiday. But Eric the Tech, how was your Christmas? How was it?
It was good.
Was Santa good to you? Did Santa come to your house?
Yeah.
All right. I know that for a fact. Yeah. How about you folks? Did you spend time with your family? You know, us pure bloods, as we're called, of course, we have to stick together. And you know, we did have a great time with the family here at the Hagman household. So, but again, my thoughts and my prayers are with all of you during this joyous season. I sent a lot of notes out, okay, during the Christmas holiday season. I've been getting some back, a lot back, actually. And it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So if you did not get a note from me, it's not because I didn't send it. I'm going to have to resend some of the notes that I got back because undeliverable. To addresses I've sent to before, I mean, I just don't get it. But anyway. All right, a couple of things. My question over this break, I spoke to a lot of people. I did a lot of research, and I want to reiterate something, too. I want to thank the people who support this broadcast. I want to thank the people who support this platform because through your support, and I get kind of choked up thinking about this, through your support, you know, there are two young girls, 6 and 7 years of age, who are spending time with loving families that were taken out of the child trafficking, we're saved. And you know, you might say, well, gee, big deal too, right? It's a big deal to them. Now, I'm not going to name them and I'm not going to give any more details except to say they're safe and they're in the loving arms of families. And we thank you because without your support, we couldn't do this. And you know, groups like Vets for Child Rescue, Russ Dizdar's team, okay, this platform out there working day after day after day and on the ground work and sometimes working with law enforcement, sometimes not, sometimes working in contrary to law enforcement wishes. But and I say that, of course, it's complicated. It's only complicated because, you know, it's because of the evil involved, but nonetheless. So I want to thank you very much, folks, for supporting this platform. Helped a lot of people. You've helped a lot of people through this platform, and we thank you. All right. How's this all going to end? We know how it ends in the big way, but what's the end game here for the people who are pushing the genetically modified mRNA jabs? How's this going to end? You saw Biden backpedaling it yesterday, didn't you? States are going to have to take care of this. Oh, really? Okay. So what does that mean? Does that mean the federal mandates are off or no? Or are they going to double down? What about the fact that studies are showing that this mRNA genetically modified juice has got a negative efficacy in many cases against the variants? I'm going to be getting into that a little bit more, but has the veil been torn off? Are more people waking up? I think they are. And what's it going to take for people to fight back? You know, I want to thank Kevin very much. You know, you had, Kate Daly, who's a talk show host and fills in for Alex Jones. Her husband was contracted pneumonia back in August. And Kevin, thanks for telling me about this back contemporaneous to the events. But boy, does she have a story to tell about the treatment of her husband in the ICU or in the hospital, I should say, and how quickly they wanted to vent him and such. And now more and more nurses are coming out with stories that, look, the protocol, the hospital protocol is designed to kill people. All right. And now more and more scientists are coming out and doctors are coming out and nurses are coming out and saying, wait a second. These jabs, known as the title of the vaccines, they're not working the way we were promised. So let's go back in time for a moment, shall we? Let's go back about 9 months. This in March of this past year, where we were assured by Rachel Maddow, who said this with such authority and such condescension. Do you remember this? About what she said, how the vaccines are supposed to work. And again, I use the word vaccine incorrectly because it's not. But watch this. And if you're driving and in your car listening to this by way of Global Star, listen to this. And think back. Think back to that innocent time, more innocent time than today. Go ahead and run. That would be clip, if you're following along at home, and Eric the Tech, that'd be clip two, right? Clip two. What's that? Yeah, clip two. Yes. No. She's stuck. And she said it with such authority, too. Yeah, we have to do this. Why? Because, again, we have new people coming to this broadcast all of the time. By the way, thank you so much. Last month set another new record, 1.226, something like that. A million and a quarter downloads for this broadcast across all platforms. So we thank you very much for sharing this. All right, so can we try it again? Let's try it again. Hey, Rachel, do you need me to come down there?
Instead of the vaccine being able, excuse me, it means for instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading and spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it. And then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were right. Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them, the virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this if we just go fast enough to get the whole pop.
All right. You get the idea. Is that true? Eric the Tech, can we now know, or do we now know that that was an absolute lie?
Last time I checked, people that were vaccinated are dying from COVID.
So, what do we even make of this? Have we been lied to? Of course we've been lied to. Are these people just unwitting dupes, you know, repeating what, are they believing in the science of Fauci or Fugazi? Again, Fugazi, the fake fraudsy, whatever you want to call them. So if they knew or if they didn't know, right now we should be saying, wait a minute, hold on a second. This is not working. None of this is working.
Mr. Maddow.
Mr. Maddow. Dick Maddow. Sorry about that. It's really ridiculous. All right. But yet the push continues. So we have to take a look right now as we approach the end of 2022, and we are. We have to take a look at, or end of 2021, I'm sorry, getting into 2022. I don't want to rush it. We have to kind of take a look at what we should come to expect perhaps for 2022. Do we have enough resolve to fight against this madness? That's my question to you. Over the holiday in New York City, where Warren Wilhelm Jr. is still belching out his communist mandates, right? Where no one without a pass is allowed to dine in any establishment within the five boroughs, Warren Wilhelm Jr., otherwise known as Bill de Blasio, is sending out his stormtroopers to make sure that the most intensive lawbreakers, the people who really are breaking the law, committing the crimes, he's sending out his special special squad now. There's a dedicated squad to this now. Now, remember, New York City, where the murder count is rising by the day, where they've got people using transit cars, the L train, for example, as a public toilet and also a place to rape others. Well, you know, New York City, right? Here's where their priorities exist now. Eric saw this earlier and said, man, this is a bizarre thing to see. But this is in New York City. Remember, this has happened in Australia. This has happened in Austria. This has happened elsewhere. It's coming to America. Folks, I promise you, left unchecked, this will be coming to your city if it's a blue city. And if you don't stand up right now and say, no, this is not going to fly, then your children are going to be imprisoned by this. We will all be imprisoned by this, but your children are going to suffer needlessly. This is what happened over the holidays in New York City. For the crime. Well, just imagine this. A family goes into a restaurant, gets seated, young children, mom, dad, they're all there. And Warren Wilhelm, his goon squad. Watch what, if you haven't seen this, this is shocking. Watch this. Radio listeners, you're looking at de Blasio's goon squad. There are New York City NYPD officers with flex cuffs standing outside restaurants. It's an enclosed mall area. Now they're inside the restaurant, and I'll be quiet so you can hear the dialogue. You got some brass there too. Here you go. Now orders need to
be followed by the police. Why didn't you go to your wife's?
A couple of children at a table in a booth. A couple of adults.
All right, just be advised that unless you have your vaccination cards, all right,
unbelievable. You guys, what happened to the Constitution? What happened to free speech? What happened to all our liberties? God bless you. God bless you.
You're a real American hero.
America.
You can't just put people.
They hate this country.
Like, I don't understand. Why are you taking them in? God. They did not do anything wrong.
We have
no manager came up to us.
We
no bartender came up to us.
For?
No waiter came up to us. Nobody came up to us and asked us what we're doing there. Nobody asked us to leave.
Nobody came to talk to us. Nobody told us why we were being denied service.
Nobody.
We were just
putting
the cart with no
officers. You get a follow orders just like the Nazis following orders?
All right. Now, Sundance from Conservative Treehouse bracketed this, made this a post, and made some comments about this. And in fact, it's under the title. This is at conservativetreehouse.com. The jackboots have arrived. NYPD begin arresting unvaccinated Americans during indoor COVID compliance checks. And I want to quote from this because I think this is extremely telling, extremely important. Comrades, he writes, many American citizens stood jaw-agape as they watched Australian Metropolitan Police Departments begin cracking skulls and making arrests for COVID rules and restrictions. For violating them, that is. Yes, it always seemed like Australia, New Zealand, and Europe were the testing ground, if you will, to see if police would comply with jackboot arrests of their own community. Well, now you can see the same tactics being deployed here in the U.S. Now, this is extremely critical, and I'm going to digress a little bit. Well, maybe he does address this. Sundance does address this. Yeah, I think he does. Okay, let me just go on. Because when I read this, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how our community, the community where I live, the township in which I live, would handle something like this. I was thinking about this. Now, folks, again, you know, I ask you to kind of think about your situation. If you don't live in a big city, maybe you have maybe you live in a township, a suburban area, where you've got a small police force. And put yourself in this position. Let's say you live within a blue state or a state where there are mandates like this. Cities or areas where there are mandates, unconstitutional mandates like this, where you've got to have your shot, your, quote, passport to eat. Can you see your police department doing this? Right, Sundance, in New York City was the first large metropolitan area to require vaccination identification cards to enter restaurants, bars, dining establishments, various public venues, public and private venues. Now comes the enforcement part, and you just saw that in cases of Global Star. You just heard that. And now, when asked why they would arrest their own community members simply for being unvaccinated and wanting to eat a sandwich, the police turn a deaf ear. And you saw that. There was no dialogue. There was no conversation. It was, this is the rule. If you don't get out, you're going to be arrested. And I would guess, now I've seen a couple of different vantage points from the same incident and some other incidents. I would guess that arrests were made without necessarily notifying the patrons. But I digress. When it comes to getting their own paychecks or putting food on the family's table, just about every single police officer in the U.S. will load you in the cattle car while saying, hey, I'm just doing my job. It's just my job. I'm just following orders. We heard this earlier in the last century. We saw it last century. Now we're seeing it again. And I'm opining as I'm referencing the Conservative House article, by the way. But he writes that we watched this escalate in Victoria, New South Wales, and various regions throughout Australia, as well as France, Germany, Austria, and regions in Europe. If things go as they did in previous examples, when if the citizens of New York City begin to push back against this, there's no reason to believe the NYPD will not respond. Now listen, with armored cars, riot teams, and rubber bullets. Now, think about this. Again, in the back of your mind, this is for your own good. This is for your health. And keep that up there because people can read that as we're talking about this. Is this really for your own good, for your own health, or the health and good of others? Not according to the science, the true science behind this. And he writes, it's profoundly disturbing, sickening, and wrong, but shouldn't be too surprising given what we have witnessed in other countries. But then again, this is America, folks. How can this be happening here in this country? Because you've got a bunch of communists right now in power. Look, you've got the Soros. You have got the Soros district attorneys, DAs put in there by Soros and the Open Foundation, Open Society Foundation. his various groups. You've got the DAs that have been put in there that go soft on the real criminals. They let criminals out on jail, out on bail, no cash bail. Just go ahead, go ahead. We'll trust you to come back. You murdered somebody, we'll trust you to come back. You raped somebody, but by God, you go in an establishment without the proper passport, we're going to throw you in jail. We're going to make sure that we're on top of you. It's going to be like a wet T-shirt on you, like two coats of paint, man. You see, this is why you've got to know none of this has to do with health. And you do. But the question now becomes, what's this going to look like in 2022? And here's what I submit. I submit to you that if we don't do anything, if we don't push back, and I mean physically push back, if we don't get in their faces, if we don't get in their, if we don't, and I mean this, I'm not calling for violence. I'm calling for the necessary pushback, the objection, the vocal objections. If we don't stand up and say no, 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 if we don't put a ring around the people who are going to be arrested, if we don't show up with twice as many people as NYPD or Chicago PD or Lightfoot's the Flitter Brigade, Beetlejuice over there. Good God, what the hell is that? But anyway, if we don't show up with twice as many, four times as many, and say no, this is the United States, you're not going to do this to us, then you can expect the rubber bullets. You can expect the beatings to continue until morale improves and compliance improves. And even then, even if you have a situation where the police say, look, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. This is against my oath. What do you think they're going to do then? You think they're going to back down and say, okay. No, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have someone from the outside come in who don't know you, who don't live next door to you. Because, see, these cops, and I'll tell you something. I had respect for law enforcement. Not any one of those individuals there do I have any respect for. Anyone who will go against a citizen with an unconstitutional, unlawful mandate, I've got no respect for you if you're just out there collecting a paycheck. I'm sorry, I don't. You swore an oath to the Constitution, not to some communist mayor, not to Beetlejuice, not to Warren Wilhelm, no, not to Gavin Newsom, Gruesome Newsom, not to any of these people. Whether your state, your city, your county, your township, whatever, you swore an oath to the Constitution. So in 2022, folks, here's what I see taking place. I see that it's decision time. And if we don't fight back, and I mean that if we don't fight back, then you, cattle cars, here we come. Some of us. Others, you know what? Others will do what they have to do. This is my prediction, if you will. Others won't go so quietly. And there will come a time when that police officer says, you know, I'm going to kiss you goodbye, honey. I'm not sure if I'm coming back tonight. I've got these unlawful orders here by Warren Wilhelm or by whoever, Beetlejuice. I've got to, you know, do my job, collect my paycheck. But you know what? People are getting rather testy. You have to make them think, am I going to make it home tonight? And that sounds rather, well, I don't know, sounds rather brutal, doesn't it? It sounds like I'm actually advocating violence. I'm not. I'm just, this is an observation. It's an observation, my observation that I believe that you want to get over this? This is how we're going to have to get over this. I would urge you to read the article at Conservative Treehouse by Sundance. A couple more things very quickly here. And let's go to clip four, starting at the minute two mark. You know, Daniel Horowitz, he's been on this program before. Of course, you wouldn't know it because it's been censored off of all platforms. He addresses this. There's no end in sight. There's no end in sight. That is my thinking, that there's no end in sight. Let's go ahead and play from 102 forward and watch this and listen to this and take heed what he's saying. We okay with this?
Journey there we go. That King George never envisioned implementing in the colonies at the time of the Revolution. What are we going to do about it? This will not end until the people stop complying, the businesses stop serving as conduits for this nonsense. It will never end. If you think about where we are at this juncture, this would be the perfect time to end it. On the one hand, it's very clear that none of these measures work, okay? 33 out of 34 hospitalized Omicron patients in Delhi, India, were vaccinated. And this is in an area that is less than 50% vaccinated, much less so than in the U.S. and Europe. So clearly, Omicron is actually hitting the vaccinated a lot more. We're seeing that in the data in Denmark, in the U.S., in the U.K. It's quite evident that it not only doesn't work, it actually has, according to U.K. data, negative 75% efficacy. So you are more likely to get it. They're saying you have to wear a mask, but the mask didn't work, and that's why we need the shots. But it's not like they're dropping the mask, the shot mandates, either for the mask. They want it all. Because this was never about public health. This was never about science. This was never about helping fellow man. It was always about control. Because if it were about treating people, they would have treated people. You know, I've treated so many people through the network of Patriot Doctors we have affiliated with this show, all sorts of cheap, available, safe therapeutics that will, you know, keep 99.9% of people who take them out of the hospital. And they have declared war on them even after their fake therapeutics have failed. How do you explain that? So it is clear beyond a doubt that their stuff doesn't work. And likely, the shots make you more likely to get the virus. But on the other hand, the entire rationale for panic and control, even if it did work, is gone. Omicron almost appears to be God's booster. It's cheap immunity you get without getting critically ill. University of Hong Kong already conducted a study of culturing lung tissue, and they found it barely replicates in your lower respiratory system. It's all in the upper respiratory virus, which means that it's very transmissible, but it's very mild. It's like a cold for some, maybe a little bit more like a flu, but not really like pneumonia or blood clotting like we saw with the other strains. So why wouldn't they take yes for an answer? On the one hand, it's very mild. On the other hand, none of this stuff works. Except for early treatment, of course, which they're barring. You know, my state of Maryland, the governor gets three shots, gets COVID, gets the monoclonal antibodies because he knew he couldn't rely on the vaccine. And then 2 days later, the Maryland Department of Health suspends the monoclonal, saying, oh, they don't work for Omicron. Well, if they don't work, then you know what else doesn't work? The antibodies from the shots don't work either. So their lesson is, don't take the monoclonals, don't get ivermectin, don't get an antibiotic, don't take steroids, don't do the Betadine nasal spray, which, by the way, works so terrifically for an upper respiratory infection that stays in your nasal pharynx. Instead, get the shots that didn't work. The Baltimore County executive where I live, Johnny Olashmucky, this guy, three shots, got the virus, and his response is, wear a mask. Well, obviously, that didn't work. There is nowhere on earth, if you run correlation, where lockdowns have worked, where masks have worked, and where the shots have worked. And yet they are still wagging their finger at you as if it's your fault for getting the virus, as if it's your fault for their buddies engaging in gain-of-function research to create this and then enhanced it with a leaky vaccine that's the worst of all.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. And folks, the all of these entire clips sourced and attributed will be at HagmanReport.com under the in the show description part at HagmanReport.com for the episode, for today's episode. And I just want to mention this too. What Dan Horowitz intimated there, suggested there, and with what Alex Jones had said, and with what Stan Dale and others have been talking about, you know, there is a direct correlation between fetal experimentation and this Frankensteinian thing that's taking place right now. There's a lot of connections to be made, and with the new year, with the advent of the new year, folks, I've got so much to. We are expanding the level amount of information coming to you that will lay all of this out. How the fetal experimentation through Planned Parenthood, through that was exposed by the Center for Medical Progress, in part, how the eugenics program, how all of this and transhumanism and the chip in the brain kind of thing, the Great Reset, how all of this is connected. And how this is all connected to human trafficking and even some sex trafficking. Alex Jones had talked about this, I believe it was either yesterday or maybe the 23rd. I'm not entirely sure, but getting into that creation of sickening, the interface between the human and sex trafficking with what we're seeing now, the Frankenstein fetal experimentation stuff, the killing of unborn children and children, full-term children, and how this all connects and what we're seeing today. So, but more is coming as the year comes to a close and we start a new year. A lot of more information at HagmanReport.com. And it's with a great amount of pride that I bring you Stan Dale. I love this guy. Stan and Holly Dale from standale.com. They have got a great website, great products, including EMP Shield. Folks, if you don't have one yet, if you didn't get one for Christmas, then get one for New Year's. The EMP Shield protects your home, your car, your generator. Get one for each, whatever you might have. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. Also, Holly Dale's got a great book, Dare to Prepare, and other intellectual products at standale.com, along with his Patreon. Be a part of that too. Join his Patreon. His meetings are fabulous. With that, Stan Dale, how are you, sir? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you too. We have about 2 copies of the Dare to Prepare book left until February. So get those 2 copies now, and we're putting out the last shipment today.
It's your fault, Doug.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've got one that's going on eBay then. Let me know when you're out, and I'll sell mine for $1,000.
You know, we looked on eBay, and some of her like editions 5 and 4 and stuff, they're selling for over $150. So yeah, get it while you can.
I've got one of the first editions here, and I treat it with respect. But yeah, maybe I should.
I don't know what the price would be for the one we've got here that we kept from the very first printing we did down in Australia in 1998, I think it was.
Why would anybody want old info?
Yeah, Holly says, why would anybody want old info? But for collectors and stuff like that, it would probably be very expensive.
It's a collector's item, Holly.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's brag value. Yeah. Hey, listen, you're talking about, you know, COVID and various things. That's on everybody's lips at the moment. But there's a little bit of karma involved in something I want to talk about. Verse here, slide 58 on the show images page, Eric. It's up at the top of the page there, 58. China's Xi'an under lockdown, that's a city, amid surge in COVID-19 hemorrhagic fever cases.
Here we go.
So they've got both. COVID-19 and hemorrhagic fever, you know, where you bleed out the eyes and everything. Residents are told to stay home, with some saying that the city would be the next Wuhan. Now, not in this article, but in another one I read earlier today, in New York, there is a surge in hemorrhagic fever in rabbits. Now, I don't know whether that translates to humans, but, you know, it's on again. These pestilences are multiplying. And fortunately, this time anyway, China's getting it first over there. So paybacks.
Yeah, you know, I find it interesting, Stan, that, you know, we look at Wuhan as the source of this COVID-19, as it's called, and we look at China as the source of things like this. But we have to, in my view, we've got to remember that it's Francis Collins, the National Institute of Health, and Fauci, NIAID, and the funding to Ralph Barrick, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and the Charles Lieber, who was just arrested or just sentenced, and this kind of went by very quickly and quietly over the holidays. He was just sentenced for his role in espionage from Harvard, Charles Lieber, and of course Jeremy Farrar over there in the UK, and how it all filters down into Wuhan, because why? That's where they need to have their laboratories. But, you know, it's yes, China is ground zero, but also the Anglo part of this is a big part of this, at least the making of these Franken monsters, if you will. And it's interesting, what, 22 countries have BSL-4 labs. I think 16 nations have stockpiles of bioweapons. It's my understanding, including, and I could be wrong, including that virus that, or that
hemorrhagic.
Yeah, including that, that it's not hemorrhagic. I mean, it causes that. So whatever. Yeah.
You know, I look at these things and try to look like an attorney at both sides of it. And I'm thinking about the Chinese steal everything they can from us in our patent office. And you have to wonder if they were stealing the patents that were applied for by the research we did on these various viruses and things. And, you know, then they had an accident. But anyway, a couple ways to get it there.
Interesting. Yep.
You know, this isn't on my show, I'm just page, but the U.S. Department of Commerce, it says that China has brain control weaponry now. The USA has added another 37 organizations, 34 of them from China, to list of businesses with which U.S. interests can't interact without a license, and with 12 of them earning their places for developing mind control weapons. So in addition to bioweapons, they're going after controlling our minds. Now, we've known about the potential of this for decades, being able to broadcast electromagnetic waves at certain frequencies in communities to cause disorientation, hysteria, depression, you know, angst. And so this coming to light here, just simply saying that they're knowing about more research, new kinds of mind control weapons. Now, I don't know whether some of that's going to be in dope or pills that you take, or, you know, medicines that you use. But anyway, the game goes on where they are just attacking us at every opportunity.
You know, Stan, thankfully we have in our merch section these anti-mind control devices for $99.95. They're on sale right now, 10% off. Okay.
I love it. And that must be that heavy gauge aluminum, right?
it's right. And designed by none other than Eric the Tech. Kind of, you know, trying to take after your EMP shield, but
use code Dale.
Yeah, use code Dale for 50% off, $100. It's out the door for 50. All right,
and I love it. I love it.
So yeah, but no, you know, we make fun of that. But seriously, there's some stuff out there that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
The on the show, I'm just page Erica slide 59 up the top talks about a U.S. warship, the Milwaukee. It's stuck overseas you heard that. You heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Holly, not me.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
We've been getting a lot of hay fever stuff here. You know, it's heavy. Anyway, with the winds that we're getting, I mean, they're mighty out here. They're breaking off tree limbs, and they're not just little ones. We had a couple of 3-inch diameter ones come down on the roof here in the last 2 weeks. Anyway. Slide 59, U.S. warship stuck overseas as Navy tries to halt COVID outbreak among fully vaccinated crew. The whole crew was vaccinated, but they had a COVID outbreak on it now, causing the ship to go to port at the naval base in Cuba. Now, I find that rather interesting testimony that, okay, COVID vaccines don't work. You know, it's another nail in the coffin of the Fauci lie.
But Rachel Maddow said they were.
Say again. Say again.
Eric said Rachel Maddow promised us that they would work back in March.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Let me see here. There's a couple of interesting things here. All right. Oh, a pretty thing. Holly's got it up on our site, standale.com, for the photo of the day, but here it is. It'll be here all week on slide 60. It's a picture of this comet that we've got in our system at the moment, that the tail has been broken by the solar wind, which is quite a rare thing to see. If you click on the text, it takes you to the article over at spaceweather.com. And it doesn't mean anything that I know of, but it's quite impressive as a picture. They blame the CMEs coming from the sun. We have a cluster of three big sunspots that are Earth-directed at the moment and have already caused at least one M-class CME at about 1.8 value, I think. M-class, yeah. Yeah, can't see the number on it. Was 1.8 today, Holly, on that M-class solar flare?
Yes.
Yeah, 1.8. And there's class C, the lower class, class M, middle, and class X, which is when you start putting on your tinfoil hats. Anyway, keep a look at this and track it. I'm sure that if you go to spaceweather.com every day, you'll get the input there as well as our website.
Yeah, okay. And that's a great place to bookmark. I appreciate that. Of course, in addition to bookmarking Stan Dale, bookmark Spaceweather. Yeah. It's radio frequencies.
Spaceweather.
All right.
You guys. Interesting thing about, you know, the government doesn't officially support the fact that we have aliens anywhere outside the planet or on the planet. But in slide 55, NASA is hiring 24 theologians to take part in its program at the Center for Theological Inquiry at Princeton University. The group will assess how humans will react if alien life is found on other planets and how to the discovery will impact our ideas of little g gods and creation. Rather interesting story. Why would NASA do that? Well, just to cover all their bases, you understand.
You remember Bishop Fulton Sheen? You remember his sermons? I think we need a dose of sermonology like that, or sermons like that, in that vein. I mean, to set people straight. But, you know, so 24 theologians to assess how the world would react to the discovery of alien life. I guess, do you think that's warranted, Stan? I mean, do you think that that's necessary, or...
No, it's a PR exercise by the government and NASA, you know, to say, well, we're willing to accept the possibility that it could be. If you've watched enough sci-fi movies since 1950, you would have seen that the Earth reacts badly. They panic and run to the fields and scream when the aliens land. Well, except for maybe that show V, where they landed and were friendly. But it doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure out that it could possibly create anarchy unless it's a controlled release of the presence of these beings and showing that they were friendly and all that kind of stuff, if you believe what they say.
Yeah, it's anyway. A cookbook. It's a cookbook, Stan. It's a cookbook. All right.
Yeah. Out there in the limits.
Yeah.
Slide 57. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard, IRGC, threatened Israel in a series of tweets on Friday, stating that the Islamic Republic is ready and willing to level the desert city of Dimona, where Israel's nuclear reactor is reportedly located, and then conquer Jerusalem. Now, they've been saber-rattling, you know, missile-rattling, whatever, for, you know, several weeks now at Israel. Sooner or later, they're probably going to do something stupid and precipitate an armed conflict, and I suspect a nuclear conflict with Israel. Israel, I'll tell you right now, is not advertising where its nuclear research and production facilities are. They would be very hard to detect by the Iranians anyway. Dimona is certainly an old site, and admittedly, it would cause havoc if the Iranians attacked it and hurt the countryside in that area. But Israel is prepared in several ways to retaliate and to protect their arsenal of nuclear weapons. So it's just another thing telling you, watch Damascus, because I reckon if the Iranians launch anything, it'll be from Damascus. And at this point in time, if it's potentially a nuclear one, then Israel would be within its rights to nuke that area. I mean, to be sure that one didn't get loose, because a loose nuclear bomb is not something that you shoot Iron Dome rockets at and hope you hit it. You better get it before it leaves the ground. That's a nasty weapon.
Oh, man.
Wide area of destruction.
Okay.
Well, that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey,
well.
On a fun thing, slide 51, secret entrance to Middle Earth discovered in Panama. Isn't that incredible? Middle Earth, where the hobbits live. Anyway, truthfully about it, if you click on the story, they have found hot air coming up out of this riverbed there in a little cave from underneath the Earth's crust.
Somebody followed Fauci home. I'm sorry, you said hobbit, and that's the first thing that came to my mind. Okay, all right. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up now. I promise. Okay.
He's looking for the ring.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to be quiet. But okay, so this is interesting.
It's one of those days, guys. It's going to happen. We're going to laugh.
Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, they think that it might explain why Panama has not got so many volcanic activities or magma eruptions, because the pressure underneath there is coming out as hot air instead of magma and volcanoes. Fun stuff, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we talk about next year? We're on that one. There was a CNN exclusive where the U.S. intelligence and satellite images show that Saudi Arabia, our old friend MBS, is now building its own ballistic missiles with the help of China. And if you click on the picture and bring it up, Eric, it shows the before and after shots, October to now. And the solid fuel disposal site at this test site that's in Saudi Arabia, outside Riyadh, it shows some black junk at that solid fuel burn area. You can see that in the circled area in the top picture. Is that enlarge a bit? Yes, it does. If you click your mouse on that picture, it will enlarge and let you see the area that is full of spent fuel where they've been doing the testing. Now, it doesn't mean at this point anyway that Saudi Arabia is going to have intercontinental capabilities to strike the United States with nuclear weapons or things like that. Not to say that China couldn't supply them with one, but, the Hopi did tell us that there is going to be one Middle East nation that joins China and Russia when they invade, and attack the United States. And so at this point, I'd say either Iran or Saudi Arabia would be a good bet for the Middle Eastern nation that would join China and Russia, because China's helping both Iran and Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia and Iran are kind of mortal enemies over religion. But there it is. They're developing that. I've been looking at a lot of other sites, which I'm going to update here in the next couple of days in Saudi Arabia. And as I said last week, I'd found the original, alien base just 120 kilometers west of the Jabal Tawaik at the location of the other base that we've talked about for months. And I'm continuing to search other parts of Saudi Arabia for anomalies, some under the sand and some, above sand. And I think I found another one that looks like a triangular ship or craft type structure buried in the sand. It's buried deep, so the image is shallow. But anyway, we'll be updating that. And you can look when you go down on our show images page. That'll be there all the time. Right in about the middle of the page, it says, view the Middle Eastern mysteries in Saudi Arabia and other countries. And I will update that, as I say, in the next couple of days with new links and pictures and stuff, which are quite revealing what's happening in Saudi Arabia. And the Saudis, in spite of what everyone thinks, that they've got endless oil there, Aramco and Dammam Island, The reports are showing that their reserves are overstated, that they're not as high as people think. And Mohammed bin Salman has been pushing for, well, probably 2 years now, increasingly fervently, to depend on tourism and the film industry and other things to get their income in Saudi Arabia to replace, of course, the oil sales loss, whether it's price wars or whatever. He knows he's got to protect what's left of the reserves there. I read that they're certainly starting to expand in the movie production area, which, you know, if they underwrite a really good movie or whatever, whether it's in the States or here, it can bring them hundreds of millions of dollars, which might help their economy as an income source and stabilize the kingdom, as it were, for people that are getting unhappy with what's happening over there. Anyway, that's them. Now, another kind of interesting thing, to me anyway, I'll explain this. When I wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy, I put in there in the final edition and possibly the edition before that, I was discussing the face on Mars problem that Richard Hoagland and others had said was a proof of, you know, people carving out a, you know, humanoid or simian type face on the surface of Mars in the Cydonia region. And I had done a number of studies on the NASA photographs of the surface of Mars in that area. I saw the pyramid type structures and the alleged face. And so I got into the high resolution photographs and some other angles. And it's not a face at all. It's a normal structure on this piece that landed on the surface of Mars. And there were those triangular pieces around it had similar shapes. And they had on the bottom of these pyramid structures a layer that was like a little bit outside or just up to the edge of the pyramid's base, as though the pyramid came from a larger object that was spherical and it broke up and put its pieces there on the surface of Mars. To give you an Earth example, geodes in geology, when you break open one of these round balls that's cooled in the air after it left a volcano, it spins inside, it lands kaplop, it cools. And as it cools completely, the hot magma inside that geode ball cools and makes crystals. And these crystals form interior pyramids facing toward the center of the geode. Now, some of them are spires, but there are a number of them that are like four-sided pyramids, and some three-sided. Now, if you were to break open a geode, which a lot of people do, they cut them, but if you were just break it open and let the pieces fall out like this, there would be a curved piece like this, and there would be a crystal with its top pointing this way. And if you laid that on the surface of Mars, covered it with a bit of dust, which is happening now, that looks like a pyramid. You think, well, somebody built a pyramid there. But there are a lot of these fragments around the Cydonia face and Cydonia region, which look to be part of a much larger object. And doing some reverse calculations from the curvature in those pieces underneath the face and others, I estimated it to be between 500 and 600 miles in diameter, that this thing collapsed at low velocity and low angle into Mars' surface, as though one of its moons crashed into it and, you know, deposited all this debris there. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about that is in slide 50, they have found about 70 new, what they call free floating planets. And these planets in our galaxy, they don't belong to any star. They don't orbit any star. They're just out there sailing around. Now, they've obviously been cooling because otherwise they would be an amorphous blob out there. But they're still spinning inside, and they've started to cool and form a stellar-sized geode. So these, you know, wandering planets out there are geodes on a stellar size. I would wonder what we could find if we broke them open. In fact, I wonder what will happen if we ever kind of break into, you know, or drill deep into and explore inside the moon, because the reports of it ringing like a bell for 30 minutes or longer when a small satellite is thrown into it to make an earthquake so we can record the inside, with seismic waves. I think we're going to find it that has crystals, you know, that formed and cooled and point in toward the center of the moon. Now, there may be layers, or it may be just a very thin crust that's the moon, and with little spikies pointing in toward the center. So that would make it a lunar type geode. Interesting thoughts. It's ramblings of a madman, but that's,
no, you know what? It's interesting because I had interviewed Richard Hoagland on this program, and you know he was somewhat dogmatic about his findings. But what you mentioned there, I just grabbed a geode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a geode that I think my children cracked in half some time ago. And you really can't, the definition you really can't see, but exactly what you're talking about inside there, where you've got three dimensional, you know, the three-sided, four-sided, various, you really can't see it, but various...
pyramid-type crystals.
Yeah, exactly. And this lesser, but yeah. So, folks, you can see what Stan is saying.
Hold that up there a second. Hold up there a second.
Yeah.
In front of you. Okay. Now, understand that when this rock left the volcano that spewed it out, that it was filled, totally filled, wasn't empty, with magma, hot magma. But as it cooled, the magma started to organize itself into crystalline lattices, which take less space than the magma did. And that's why as it cools out toward the outer shell of that, it leaves a hole, a hollow cavity in it.
Right.
And so...
So, I mean, you know, it looks like this is more of an oval than a circle, but it does look like a rock. And then when you break it open, you know, you can see... Yeah. Okay. Very good. Show and tell.
Yeah, Cosmic Conspiracy is still, available. The final edition was done in 2010, but in the appendices of that are discussions of this and about the coming satanic invasion of the planet as alleged aliens. It's a book for where the appendix particularly is for now, for our time. So get that. We've got plenty of those in stock, so you're good to go there.
Yeah, and folks, that's a great book. You know, I'll tell you what, Cosmic Conspiracy... timeless, and it's got a lot of great information, and it's got the basis exactly what we're seeing today, the infrastructure, how would you describe it? From a I want to say a spiritual, but there's a different word I'm looking for.
It's scientific and spiritual and philosophical. I mean, yeah. I tell you about my, you know, the path I took to get into being the author of the book and things, what happened to me and with the working with Dr. Edward Teller's Anti-Gravity Project. But then I tell you about the Illuminati and document, you know, how they formed and what the names of the groups were at the time in 1978. Some of them are still there, but there are new groups replacing them now, new powers. Then I talk about some scientific things like the era and Einstein's relativity equation. You know, it's a very simple thing. It's you can use algebra to prove it and little diagrams. And then I get into the face on Mars, the problem with that being a face. And then I put in here of late the prophecies in Daniel that I retranslated in very great detail from the original Hebrew form of it about the Antichrist and the alien God that will support him and what the alien God will treat humans like food or fodder to trample underfoot and break. And it's a very detailed translation allowing you to see how translators can choose this meaning or that meaning, depending upon how they feel it fits with the rest of the storyline of the day. And now that we know more about various things, when you see the full potential translations of words, it tells you about Satan coming as an alien god to support the Antichrist of this planet, whom he will probably appoint. Anyway, it's worth a read. It's the book is kind of ageless. And it really applies to all ages.
Love it. I'll second that. I love that book. So it's one that I reference and reread quite frequently. And that's Cosmic Conspiracy. Go to standeo.com and get that, as well as all of his other intellectual work that is for sale, and support him on Patreon as well. All right, Stan. Go ahead.
All right. Now, on books, the Vindicator Scrolls, Volume 1, I've not finished Volume 2. It's quite a lengthy process to do these things. And truthfully, I'm not sure that I want to print it in full color like this one was. The Volume 1, I had color all through that thing, which made it a very expensive book. And it's now, of course, out of print, been out of print for probably 15 years. And so I thought, look, I can't really charge people $150 a copy for this, you know, and print it. It'd cost me a fortune anyway, but I can scan the pages of it in the cover and put it up on our shopping cart. And you can download a PDF of the Vindicator Scrolls Volume 1. Now, I'll tell you in advance, I located at that time where I thought the Garden of Eden was and where Atlantis was. The Atlantis location in this publication in 1989 is correct today. The Garden of Eden location, I stopped at the Danakil Plains, and that's in the Afar Triangle in Northeast Africa. I couldn't find various things that I needed to make it fully comply to being the Garden of Eden. And after that, when Google Earth became available, you know, on the internet, I started using that and flying around the Afar Triangle, and I found that the water and the rivers in the Afar Triangle, even though they did go out and encompass three nations, it said that it would do in the Bible, I couldn't find a fourth river. And so I started tracking one great river there on the Danakil Plains, back up the Great East African Rift, all the way back hundreds and hundreds of miles, back up into into Tanzania. And tracked it right to the mouth, or through the lip of a huge volcanic plateau called the Ngoro Plateau. And then from there, I found that, they'd enclosed the real Garden of Eden and the fourth river I found coming down the east side of it. And it all fell into place. So understand in this version of where I found the Garden of Eden, it stops short of where the actual garden is. It shows you the place where the three rivers split to go around the continents, but it didn't show the source of those three rivers, which I was able to do later in the lectures that I have on YouTube about the Garden of Eden. Anyway, just thought I'd...
You know, I don't know. I don't know if you're the man behind this, but folks, go to that link, standale.com, and the Vindicator Scrolls on Amazon. Do you know this is on Amazon, Stan?
I think I'd heard that. I haven't checked lately. What does it say on Amazon?
Well, it's you got 5 stars, brother. But it's published by West Australian Texas Trading.
Yeah, that was Fire Company back down there. We just changed the name to what it is now.
Well, if you want a paperback, it's $84.90.
Wow.
So, but you're selling it for what?
Well, I don't have a paperback. I mean, $30. But yeah. And let me just go on Amazon here with you and just see what it says here.
Yeah, this
eight
is
used from $83.98. Yeah. There's some used very good $155, used very good $160, used acceptable $233 a copy, used like new $253. So, yeah, $30 is a bargain.
Yeah, and I love the one review says, you know, I've been a Standale radio interview fan. This book blew me away. He has a brilliant mind and an amazing way of making even the most complex story clear. And that's very true. So there it is, folks. Yeah, fantastic. Cool. All right.
Well, thanks, whoever that was. That was a friendly comment. Appreciate that. You know, when I first, when I wrote that book, I had a lot of criticism on the cosmic conspiracy by academics saying you didn't put enough documentation about what you said here and there and got things from this location or whatever. And, you know, a book list that you do in a formal paper. So I thought in the Vindicator Scrolls, I'll get rid of these guys in advance. I will document everything. And so I had footnotes out the wazoo. And I'm sure that kind of... made a lot of people think, this is too academic to read, but it's only the footnotes. The book itself is in real speak English, like I talk. A lot of people have commented on my writing, say that you write like you speak. I'm not a formally trained writer. So it's, you know, if I say this is what it is, I'll write this is what it is. Anyway, yeah, that's...
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing happening in the next 6 months, it started now, it's already launched, in slide 48, is the James Webb Telescope. Now, it's going to what they call L2 out in orbit between the Earth and the Sun. And it's a place where the gravitational forces on that satellite at that point and the ones from Earth will be in balance so that it will stay in that orbit. It's a stable orbital place that it'll be there until the sun changes diameter, the Earth slows down or whatever. So it's called a Lagrangian stasis point, L2, relative to Earth. And if you read the article, you'll see that, or even look at the picture. Let me just see, I'll click on the picture. It says that 13 days after launch, which they've done, the primary mirror wing is deployed. And that's happening there in that photograph. But if you go to the site that I've got it linked to, you can get to a video that takes you through it day by day after the launch, what is happening on that craft until, you know, it arrives at the Lagrange point. And I think that's June of this year. I can't remember what the exact date of June, but it'll tell you in an article, I think. It will be ready to deploy everything, have it all deployed and be ready to start sending us pictures back. It's going to be really high resolution stuff. It has to have heat shields on it because it's much closer to the sun to protect equipment, and then radiating fins at the back are layers to get rid of the heat that builds up on it from the solar wind and radiation. It is really quite a remarkable device, and I'd like to see it work and be able to send us back data. It's a kind of a risky adventure, but with the increased activity on the sun, sunspots, coronal mass ejection flares, these things can be intense enough to fry some instrumentation on it if it's not, you know, properly protected. And I'm sure they've done everything they can. So sometime in May or June this year, we'll be able to see what's coming from that James Webb telescope. It's quite an exotic looking thing. When you watch the video there, you'll see how they unfold this bit, that bit, that, and the next bit. And after, you know, 13 or 14 days, each stage has been accomplished and inflated and positioned. I marvel at this. I mean, you know, I know that we're supposed to be smart here in America and the space program, but I still think that was and is an incredible feat of engineering to take that thing out there, to design it to start with, but take it out there and accurately locate it in that Lagrange point. And then all the little mechanisms that have to open up and inflate, hopefully they will. It's just, wow, I'm impressed. Well, how much time we got left? I'm sitting here rambling on. What we got?
Oh, we got about, 17, about 20 minutes.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, we got okay. A lot of time.
Okay. Slide 46 is a departure from just the normal stuff. It's some of Stanley's interesting things. And if you, in the text, it says, scientists on Tuesday announced the discovery of an exquisitely preserved dinosaur embryo egg from at least 66 million years ago. And I put a note there, a million-year-old egg for lunch. You know how Chinese like to eat, 100-day eggs. Well, this is 66 million-year egg. But anyway, if you look in the text there and also at the site, it was found in Gansu, southern China, which is why I made the joke about the 100-day egg. And
yeah, but you're not wrong there. Okay, wow. But wow,
and if you click on the picture above, I show the comparison, the actual cut in the egg where the embryo is preserved, and then the artist's reconstruction from that skeleton. So if you click on the picture in that, there you go. It's the top part is that. If you scroll down, the bottom part is the artist's rendition to show that. And remember, we've been finding out that a lot of the dinosaurs, when they were born, and some after they matured, had feathers. And this shows a fuzzy little dinosaur like a chicken that they found in this 66 million-year-old, fossil. Again, 66 million years old to me doesn't compute as proper, because the way they date everything is from stones that have gases in them and chemical deposits, and they base it on the decay rate of carbon-14 or argon or some of the other exotic gases. And these decay rates are much slower now than they were at the Big Bang. And if you were to say how much slower, I'd say 10 with 60 zeros behind it, 10 to the 60th power times slower. So that aging and the age of things is greatly skewed. And something at 66 million years old might turn out to be only 15,000 years old when you adjust the time clock by the radiation, you know, that they use, or the timing of the radiation to determine the age of rocks and things like that. Anyway.
So, if you don't mind, aside from that looking like an ultrasound from Rachel Maddow, she's the one to pick on of the hour. But no, seriously, what you just said there about the time. So our entire world clock could be off by a lot, right, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Look, a very good friend of mine, I know when he was working on this, he's an astronomer from Australia, but he's now moved up into the United States in the Northwest. Barry Satterfield, Setterfield, Barry Satterfield, a very devout Christian man. And we used to spend many hours at night after midnight, which is the only time he could talk when he wasn't taking care of his sick mother. And we talked about the tilt of the Earth, you know, what caused the impact, and what year it occurred in, which was 2345 BC, I think it came out to. But he has graphs on his website which show if you adjust the decay rate of the things they use to measure the age of rocks in the universe, adjust it for that 10 to the 60th power, which is up here on the graph, and the speed of light and the radiation decay rate is up here, and you see this, how do I do it here? Go that way, yeah. Okay, this graph goes like that. And down here is the speed of light and radioactive decay now, and up here is where it started at the Big Bang. And remember, this is 10 to the 60th power times faster speed of light and radiation decay here than it is down at the bottom part of the graph where we are. And I've gone over this. Others have gone over and studied it, and he's starting to gain a following to understand that our aging technique, you know, the way we age the universe and everything, is up to shoot. It's a much younger universe. I mean, a much younger universe and a planet than we ever knew, which means that when they say about a star like ours, oh, it'll be 2 billion years before it goes supernova, wrong. It could be a lot quicker measured in years or maybe decades or maybe, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 years, but it's not going to be 2 billion years. All right, we can't, if you change this one factor that everybody uses in aging and determining age of things, then it suddenly adds an imperative note to things like what happens to our sun and our planet and what's going to happen in the near future. I mean, even the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about the sun suddenly having itself surrounded by a cloud, and then the light of the sun becomes seven times brighter than daylight and fries one third of the planet. Well, if you believe the Bible, this is going to happen in the end days, and it'll happen, I think, in the next 10 to 20 years, whenever the tribulation period is occurring. And we see signs of that happening right now on the sun with these increased sunspots suddenly erupting around the equator, on the north and south of the equator, in two bands going around it like this. And you're going to see it get worse and worse as the weeks, you know, pass here. Slide 45 shows a picture of this current sunspot group, tongue not working, facing us, which is releasing these CMEs and that one M-class 1.8, which is significant. But as they release closer to the equator and more Earth-directed, these are going to be the things that we're afraid of, killing all the electric and chip things on the planet with a coronal mass ejection and CME that absolutely puts us back into the 18th century as far as being able to use power. This is just occurring, and it's going to fulfill prophecy, I think, in a very short time. What did President Trump used to say? In a very short length of time, no years or whatever, but a very short length of time. Anyway, that's that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, keep looking at that, and you know, look at spaceweather.com every day. Just go there and see their top articles about what's happening on the sun. And you can go to the Solar Dynamics Observatory, NASA's SDO site, which I do several times a week, but I don't post it. So if you want to get it in the middle of the week and see, it's a good place to go, spaceweather.com and SDO. Good time to do it. Oh, on military things here, I forgot this. Slide 44. In a warning to Israel, Iran says it fired 16 ballistic missiles able to hit Israel. The short-range and medium-range missiles, Iran has said, can reach Israel as well as all U.S. bases in the region. According to the IRNA news agency, the missiles were of the models EMAD, Goddard, Sigil, different weird names, and that their range is from about 350 to 2,000 kilometers or 220 to 1,250 miles. So we've got fleets in the area, and we've got other bases in the area, which could definitely be attacked by Iran. Now, that might be the fulfillment of the invasion of the United States, or the prophecy by the Hopi that told Holly and I, Russia, United States, and one Middle Eastern nation will invade the United States. Well, the bases over in the Middle East are technically U.S. territory. So that could be what happens, is that they attack our bases over there rather than Iran being able to get over here to do it. But Russia and China definitely will be able to get troops and nuclear bombs to us. All these things are kind of pointing to that time. And update on La Palma. It's finished. The eruption at Cumbre Vieja, volcano located in the middle of La Palma in the Canary Islands, has been declared officially over on December the 25th. With 85 days of eruptive process and 3,000 acres of land covered with magma, this is now La Palma's longest eruption in 375 years of the island data for La Palma. The second longest eruption was that of the Tayuya volcano. Yeah, in 1585. Better have no drink of coffee here. Mm-mm. And it lasted 84 days, just short of what lasted now. And it covered about a third the distance, or a third the area of the island with magma that the current eruption did. So we see here a very limited amount of data, two eruptions that big, 400 years apart. But will the next one, if it does get excited again for some reason, will it be even greater? And will that be the one that releases the landslide that produces the tsunami toward the East Coast? Anyway, we can stop worrying about it for the moment. It's declared, dead and gone. And if you look at the earthquake data, there are some minor, small earthquakes still kind of, underneath the island about 20 miles down, but nothing to write home about. So I think they're probably right that we don't have to worry about La Palma for a while. And if you go down to slides 37 through 39, these are the usual photographs I put up of the sun. The green one, slide 37, shows where the bright active regions are at the moment. And right in the middle of that, down at the bottom, you'll see longitude zero. That's what's directly facing the Earth. And you can see those three sunspot activities at the lower right there are now going to be moving around the back of the sun. And there's another one coming up above those three, but on the left there at minus 30 longitude. And that one, it could be an Earth-directed thing. It's up close enough to the equator, which is a zero line at the latitude there. And that one could produce a CME Earth-directed or several. But notice that the active regions, the sunspot and CME-producing areas, are beneath the equator and above it. There are two bands, as I said before, that are opening up at about the 30-degree latitude, north and south on the sun. And these just suddenly appeared about 2 weeks ago and are starting to become very busy, and they're starting to multiply. This one gives you an idea of what's coming and what's past. Now, from zero longitude over to the right, these things will start to disappear from detection at around latitude 60 or so. They'll start to go around the backside. And we've lost the satellite that gives us a picture in the rest of the black areas of this photograph. But on the left, when this band of things that are now visible, when that comes back around the sun, when they start to appear over on the left at about minus 90, you'll see that we have about between 6 and 9 days before the Earth-directed portions of them are once again pointing at us. So give it about 3 weeks and have another look on that one.
Always looking at, you just never know. I mean, the sun is quite active. It has been quite active. And it's just, I feel like it's kind of like, one of these times, man, it's going to line up just right and bang, we're going to get hit. So,
well, all right. Well, Eric, put up slide 39 and I'll explain why I put these up. Seeing a bright light on the surface of the sun tells you it's an active region and it could produce coronal mass ejections and, extreme solar wind releases from the dark areas underneath them. But why I put up this one, which has a magnetic field line, it tells you the strength or intensity underneath these bright spots of activity. If they've got a lot of very dense, you know, like a magnetic lines coming out of them, they're a cause to be worried about. You know, they are strong. And you'll see in the lower right of this picture here I took earlier this morning that the bright spots, the three that we're talking about, have one more to the right of it, a fourth spot. It's starting to go around to the backside, but it has a lot of lines of force, very strong stuff, and I don't think it'll go away. And in this picture, also up at the dark area, it looks kind of longish, like a horse head or something, on the equatorial region on the left. That is a coronal hole, which releases a lot of solar wind and particles out of it as well. It's not like a CME, but it's definitely going to affect radio transmissions when it hits the atmosphere here in the probably the next 3 days. Anyway, that's why I put those up to give you an idea of the strength. Now, before I get too far out of time here, slides 40 through 42 are about earthquakes in the Juan de Fuca area. Now, slide 40 just shows the last 7 days of earthquakes, which are right on the Cascadia subduction zone where it meets with the Mendocino fault line. And it's a cluster of earthquakes, one big one, and then a bunch of smaller ones. If you go over to the next slide, 41, that's going to show the past week, instead of the past day, the past week of earthquakes there. And you'll see two groups of them. And then if you go to slide 42, this shows the last 30 days off the coast there, showing the earthquakes that we were just looking at in the lower right portion of that picture at the Mendocino and Cascadia subduction line where they join. And the ones up in the foot of the left side of the Juan de Fuca plate. And there are 360 earthquakes in this little scenario here. The two areas, one is active and then the other is active. It's like it's rocking back and forth between these two. I think the time of a problem with the fault lines and off the coast of Washington and Oregon is approaching, and they could trigger more earthquakes down into California as well. Okay. What's my timeline again?
Oh, you've got about, Eric, 5 minutes? 5 minutes.
Okay. Slide 45. This is, again, fulfilling prophecy. Immigration to Israel surges in 2021 by 30%. More Israelis, more Jews are going back to Israel, returning to the homeland, just like prophecy said they would do in the end days. When they leave a country to come back home, it's called Aliyah, making Aliyah to come home to Israel. I don't know how many more Israel can support, but, they are there and they are coming. Now, from Russia, they took in 7,500, 3,000 from Ukraine, and 1,636 from Ethiopia. And you can look at that article and get the stats on that. The total immigration is like 27,000 new immigrants over 22,000, say, last year. But it's increasing and fulfilling prophecy, which is an encouraging thing to see because it means we're in the end days for sure. Another footnote there to say that we're there. Now, slide 50, or slide 47. Now, the astronomers found a nearby black hole that is capturing some stars around it. And in the process, it's creating huge plasma lightning strikes all around the black hole. It's really quite an astounding picture. And, if you look at it outside, the width of the shot here, it would take 16 full moons side by side to cover this image, in front of your hand. Anyway, that's one of the rare photographs where you see a black hole actively chewing up its neighbors. And if you scroll down the page in that article, there's a okay, there's another here of a black hole in the Centaurus A elliptical galaxy, 12 million light years away, which is, you know, huge distance, so we're not too worried about it. But it is impressive to watch it eating another group of stars.
How do you... I know we only have like 4 minutes left. I don't even know if this is a relevant question, but how do you explain a black hole? I don't even know how to formulate the question, but given the universe as it is, what's the function of a black hole?
Well, it's interesting. There are a number of opinions on this, and the Indian astronomers say that it's part of the rest of Brahma, Brahmaputra, which in Hebrew is the same thing. Brahma is reverence for the God, the creator, Brahma. It says that over gazillions of years, the universe collapses into, you know, a dot, and then explodes in a big bang again and makes a new universe. And the discussing this in relation to black holes is that the black holes are gathering in, you know, mass in the universe, and that either they are connected to a parallel universe, and this is the astronomers saying this, that the energy is being thrown into that universe, or they're going to become so massive that they all aggregate together and collapse into this one dot that has to explode, you know, to conservation of energy or whatever. I find it interesting that they say that a black hole sucks in everything. Gravitationally, it gets in everything. It is so strong, it even sucks in light. Well, then they say, oh yeah, at the poles of a black hole, periodically, they shoot out a bunch of gamma ray bursts of energy out the north and south poles of these black holes. If they're, you know, collecting everything, how is it they're emitting stuff out the polar regions? So you see that it's like a way to form new stars and galaxies, because these gamma ray bursts are so intense that they could go out and then form, you know, stellar nurseries to create new stars. It's like it's a concentrator, but not a keeper particularly. It concentrates stuff in on the sides of it, you know, but at the poles, it re-emits the stuff in a form that creates new star systems. Anyway, it's
interesting.
It's up for grabs. I don't know.
All right. Well, Stan Dale is the only person I know who I can ask that question, and he's got an answer, you know. All right.
Well, a partial answer. Let's face it. I don't know any more than the rest of them.
Well, Stan, we got about a minute left, and it's all yours, my brother.
All mine. Okay. I'm looking at our homepage here on standale.com. There are a few articles here that I wanted to discuss. Let's look at this one here. Half of all U.S. churches and other faith institutions help people to get enough to eat. So without the churches, a lot of these homeless and food banks and things wouldn't be eating. But another interesting thing, which, you know, is sad, not covered in this article, but is that so many churches are losing attendance. And, you know, they're saying things, some of them from the pulpit, about, you know, whether God exists or not, or whether, you know, heaven exists. There are things that they're doing that are totally against what we see in the Bible. And our established churches are failing. They're being taken over by, you know, fifth columnists from Russia and China, whatever, to bend it away from what the truth of the Bible is. And that's why their numbers are dwindling, because it's not right. And it's, you know, spiritually, people feel that it's not right. But, anyway, that was...
All right, sir.
Have you got any snow over there?
No, actually, which is rather unusual for this area this time of year. Just dusting here and there once in a while, but no. You?
No. In fact, we'd be lucky to get rain.
It's 60 degrees out.
It's 60 degrees outside, you know, and it's a drought. And now Arizona got a bunch of snow down.
Rain.
And in California, in the northern areas, I think there are some snow deposits on the mountains there. But let's see, where was the Pacific Northwest and Pacific California? Northwest.
They got it. Yeah, I'm okay with not having snow, but
I'd like to have the rain, the water.
Yeah. Yeah. The water would be nice. Stan, thank you so much. Holly, God bless you both. Thank you so very much. And you know what? Have a great New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Same to you guys. Bye-bye now. Lord bless you.
Until next year. All right.
Folks, next year.
Folks, that'll do it. Have a great night. God bless.